QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q. Net control for the Tech Tuesday net at 1900 hours local time on the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, plus offset of 600 kilohertz and a PL of 131.8. This net is connected every Tuesday at 1900 hours, conditions permitting. This repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio, a gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communication. Before I begin, is there any emergency or priority traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, no basic announcements here. We're going to do for our topic tonight will be those mysterious signals. This is on page 37 of the October QST 2012. Good discussion here about cosmic noise and atmospheric noise that we hear on the HF bands. However, before we do that, let's see who's out there listening with our roster. Starting with WB6CLZ, Mike.
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CLZ. We're down in Placentia tonight.
All right, Mike. Glad to have you out there, and a good topic that you picked out for us tonight. Appreciate that. How about WB6CIN, Cindy?
Good evening, Tom, and everyone on the net. This is WB6CIN.
Well, good evening, Cindy. Glad to have you and Mike out there, and your signal is great as ever. How about KA6CIA, George? And nothing heard there. Let's see if we got KE6RJ and KE6QI.
Oh, good evening, Tom. KE6RJ here and KE6QI in the galley. Good evening.
All right, good deal. Hope you or Nancy is rustling up some good grub there. Just got done with dinner myself. All right, how about KJ6HCS Mike? Nothing heard. How about WA6ITC Rod?
Yeah, from Lake Williams. WA6ITC. Good evening, everybody.
Well, good evening, Rod. Thanks for checking in out there from Lake Williams. Appreciate you being with us. How about KJ6FIL, Mike, in Redlands?
Good evening, all. KJ6FIL.
Well, good evening, Mike. Hopefully, you're tolerating the heat down there. I know it's been pretty hot the last few days. Supposed to be that way for a while, so hang in there. How about KJ6KDL and KJ6KDK?
Oh, KJ6KDL here.
And KJ6KDK.
Well, thanks for being with us this evening. And hopefully Jim has got the night off from the from the bank. Sorry, a little chuckle there, sorry. How about WB6PBZ Ray? And nothing heard there. By the way, did have a little announcement, which I'll give in a minute here, from Ray. I forgot to put that in there, so. A little about a walkabout tea hunt again, coming up. How about W6GZI, Frank? Yeah, nothing heard out there from Frank. How about KI6IQA, Kelly?
Yes, sir. KI6IQA.
All right, Kelly, thanks for being with us this evening. Appreciate you being out there. How about K6GBL Ron from Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Ned. This is Ron, K6GVL, Green Valley Lake.
Well, good evening, Ron. Thanks for joining us this evening. Appreciate you being out there. And how about 86PL Harold in Riverside?
Good evening, 86PL. That fellow already had the QST on that antenna. And this evening, for weather warning for the mountains, I saw the first seagull in Riverside. So stand by, 86PL.
Okay there, Harold. Appreciate that. All right. Next on my list here, let's see if he's out there this evening. K6LCS, Quint. Nothing heard. How about KJ6PYV, Dave?
Good evening, Tom and the net. This is KJ6PYV.
Well, good evening, Dave. Thanks for joining us this evening. Appreciate that. Let's see, moving on down here. I think Judith and Ken, I don't think they're back yet. How about K6YNW, Chris?
Good evening, K6YNW.
Good evening, Chris. How about W6POO, Chip?
Good evening, schoolmates, classmates in the net. W6POO still frying down in the Palm Springs area. Back to you.
Yeah, you folks down there in the low desert. Well, I'll tell you what, my heart goes out to you. I know it's been pretty hot the last few days, so you guys hang in there. How about KD6LEN, Bill? And nothing heard there. How about AE6CK, Victor?
Good evening, Tom and the net. Victor from Santa Fe Springs.
Well, good evening, Victor from Santa Fe Springs, and hopefully you can stay a little cooler in there, out that way. How about KA6ROD, Rod?
Good evening, everyone, KA6ROD.
Well, good evening, Rod. Well, you know how it's been up here. It's been great. Oh, I shouldn't say that. All right, how about, let's see here, KB6LTY, Christy.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KB6LTY in Apple Valley, where it's 85 degrees.
All right, Christy, well, I think it's in the 60s here, but of course we're up a little bit higher. Not too bad. Sounds like it's cooling off for you guys down there. Thanks for being with us. Next on my list here, I have W6JET. Rob.
Good evening to the net, W6JET.
Good evening, Rob. Glad to have you out there. How about KE9AOG, Stephen? All right, nothing heard. I think that's got most of the people here. Let's see if we got, how about KJ6RAY, Ray? Yeah, nothing heard there. Let's see here. Got a couple, a lot of people on here, but those are the big group that normally check in. Anybody else out there would like to check in this evening as a guest, please come back to KF6Q.
Hi, Tom in the net. This is
Apple Valley. Part of that was cut off. Go ahead and give me your call again.
KJ6QYN, Mobile, Shelley, and Apple Valley. Good evening, Tom.
Well, good evening, Shelley. Glad to have you out there. Anybody else out there? All right. Well, not a problem. Anybody else out there, of course, can join in at any time. And if you're not up here, probably someplace trying to stay cool. So anyway, well, let's see. Let's get back to Mike. We've got possibly a DX report. Don't know. Mike, what's happening out there with the sun, solar weather, and the DX report, if we have one this week?
We actually have one this week, Tom. That's 2 weeks in a row. Hey, hey. Anyway, let's get space weather out of the way. FaceWeather.com is reporting a sunspot number of 59, kind of puny, and a solar flex index of 128. But over the weekend, Saturday and Sunday were hot on 10 meters. That's where I was hanging out because it was open. That's my favorite band. Gosh, Sunday morning we worked Staffordshire, England. We worked New Zealand, Canary Islands. Let's see, French Polynesia and Cuba. Basically, I was tending some things I had to do around here, and every time I would go to the radio and just twist the dial a little bit, there would be other DX. All of that, well, no, not all of that. About half of that was 100 watts, and the rest of it was 10 watts or less. So I don't have it written down here which is which, but things were good over the weekend. Not so good now, but looks like we may be getting into a better spot of the better part of the cycle 24, and things are going to be hopping. So keep your eyes and ears open, guys. Back to you, Tom. That's WB6CLZ.
Well, good deal there, Mike. Yeah, sounds like that's pretty good. Sounds like we got a lot of stuff happening out there. Just real quick, see if anybody else had any good DX out there. Anything to report, please come back to AF6Q. And hearing nothing out there right now. Well, anyway, Mike, pretty cool, pretty cool. Well, let's get into this article. Pretty cool. Those mysterious sounds, signals, or both, all or none of the above. What are we talking about here, Mike? What would this possibly be?
We're talking about signals that come from extraterrestrial, outside of the Earth, outside of our ionosphere. And generally they're microwave or high frequency in nature, but a lot of them are copyable in the HF frequencies that we normally tune and normally are listening on. I have one that I took from Space Weather here that is, I can play on my computer and play through the mic here if you guys want to hear it. It is the signature of the Earth from the radiation belt, satellite monitoring the radiation belt. And pretty cool. A little bit of a narrative beforehand, but I'll cut it off on 2 minutes so we don't have to get into the timeout of the repeater if you like, Tom. But pretty cool. It sounds like music, so I know that's prohibitive, but it really isn't. If you want me to, I'll go ahead and play that and cut it off a little bit short so we don't go into the timeout. How about that, Tom?
Well, good deal. Yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. And I, of course, I think the music thing is, of course, because that's copyright material, usually. And all the other regulations go with that. Well, let's hear this. Go ahead and just try to keep it under 3 minutes, if possible. Appreciate that. And this is actually, Mike, this is what? Now, this is what the Earth sounds like from something out in space? Is that what we're listening to here?
It's basically the chorus that the radiation belts make, and it's heard through the satellite. There's twin satellites that are there to monitor that. What I will do is I will hit play on this thing, and then I will reset so we'll have the longest time, and you guys can listen to it. Hopefully it works out. I've got the speakers up loud, got my earplugs in, and we're going to give this a try. So stand by for a reset, and then I'll go ahead and play it.
Sound like to a human being if we had radio antennas for ears, says
kind of get the idea anyway. That's not exactly what we're talking about here, but that's one of the phenomena that go on and that we can copy sometimes with our equipment. So back over to you, Tom, and then we'll get into this article.
Well, Mike, definitely some very weird sounding stuff there, what we did here. But anyway, we actually have a couple different sources of noise. Of course, QRN, QR Nancy, basically is natural noise out there. And this is kind of like what we're talking about here. We have two different types of noise. One of them is atmospheric noise, of course, that we're going to hear. And of course, if you're on the HF band, you're going to hear this just about every day, any day. The other, of course, which is like we'd like to get into a little bit more tonight, is cosmic noise, the ultimate DX, really coming from far, far away. And you know what, Mike? I think here, I'm seeing here in the article that one of the signals that you can get on 10 meters, your favorite band, is coming from the center of the Milky Way, which is the galaxy we are in. And these noises we are hearing were created about 27,000 years ago, just now getting here. So that's kind of cool, kind of like the light from the stars. We all know that started out a long time ago on its journey. Mike, they've got something else here. Wow, a much further journey. Why don't you go ahead and fill us in on that?
They're talking about one from, I believe it's pronounced Cygnus A, which is, I assume, another galaxy. I'm not a swimmer. Hopefully somebody will chime in if they know more about it than I. But that signal that we hear started this journey 760 million years ago. Long time. So we're listening to some pretty far out stuff. And like you say, the ultimate DX. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, and Mike, you know what? We know this is spread out over a lot of different frequencies, but I know that there's a lot in the HF bands, starting as low as 9 to 10 megahertz, and all the way up to the 10 meter band, 28 megahertz, right in that area, and all the way up. I don't think there's any place where it's not. Pretty interesting, and I guess in the article here, they have recorded a lot of different signals and whatnot. By the way, this article is from Arch Doty, W7ACD, as in yeah. Oh, I wonder if it's Clifford related to Clifford there. Anyway, pretty neat stuff. Pretty neat stuff. Now as we're getting on the second page here, how is cosmic noise propagated? Kind of interesting, because it's, you know, we have the ionosphere here, kind of kicks our radio waves around. How's this stuff happen to get here from so far away?
According to this, the best times, times of poor ionospheric HF propagation. And basically the reason for that is because normally our signals will just go right up and out and into the cosmos, and we're saying, oh, we're not able to work any DX or anything. Well, that's the best time to receive the cosmic noise, is because then the signals will, you know, will get through our ionosphere and get to us without a lot of attenuation, you know, more than they would have if we had a good solid ionosphere going. And let's see, this guy's saying that he has a 75-foot tower, and he had his beam out and was pointing it, and has different areas between north and northwest is where most of the noise arrived from. And I guess he's up in Oregon from what I got. Yeah, it looks like it.
Well, good deal. And if anybody out there has been keeping tabs with Mike's solar reports here, Mike, we usually have a thing called a maximum usable frequency, an MUF, which is basically the top end of what we're going to have out there for DX. Now, as that frequency drops, that would mean that anything above that generally is headed straight out. Is that correct? And that possibly at that time, would be the best for stuff to come back through.
That's the way I read it here in the article, and it kind of makes sense. And to make a little comment on that, over the weekend, I think it was Sunday or Monday, yesterday. I think it was Sunday. The MUF went up to almost 36 megahertz. That is pretty darn high. I mean, we've heard of it higher, but that opens 10 meters and a little bit above, and very good looking. But I don't think we would catch much of this noise that we're looking for when it's that high. Back to you, Tom.
Well, pretty cool. So you could actually, if you wanted to actually experiment with this, you could start out with a basic dipole of some sorts. And of course, I guess one of the ultimates would be one of these big old giant satellite dishes that nobody uses anymore, or very few people use anymore. And I tend to have a collection going of those. I have a collection going of a lot of stuff though, if you know me. Anyway, well, pretty neat. So, we always have that atmospheric noise, which is kind of a pain, when we're trying to communicate. But the cool part is this cosmic noise, and trying to get that separated from the atmospheric noise and trying to find out where it's coming from. So I guess if you had kind of a directional type of antenna, it'd be pretty cool, and coordinate that with some sort of solar tracking program. Stellar tracking program, and seeing what's out there. I guess it'd be pretty neat aiming a dish out there towards the Milky Way. Wow, pretty cool stuff. I know there's a lot of people that are involved with that, and of course, if you are, feel free to jump in here. Pretty neat. A little bit of what they call ham radio operated, looking for ET.
Yeah, QSL, Tom. I got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There was an article several months ago too on listening to the noise from Jupiter. So that would be within our solar system. Interesting thing here though. They say that there's 100 lightning, average of 100 lightning flashes every second somewhere in the world. And if you've ever been trying to work any of the low bands just prior to or when the monsoons are in, when there's lightning, you hear all these lightning crashes. Very predominant on 160, 80, and 40 meters. They're very easily to hear them, and a little bit on the higher bands, but that's where a lot of your atmospheric noise come from, is lightning flashes, and all around the world. I think that once I read that 4,000 miles is very easily received with the equipment we have with lightning, so it doesn't have to be close, but sure makes a heck of a noise on your receiver if you don't have a decent noise reduction or noise blanking system. Back to you, Tom.
Well, anyway, of course, I don't think any of us have access or the space to put up a giant array like they have over there in New Mexico. It'd be kind of cool. But I think if you can get your hands on one of these old, they're about a 1 meter dish, about a 3 foot diameter. Primestar used to use those, actually, which I think that whole service has been long gone. And a few of those dishes kicking around out there, if you can find. Actually, my neighbor has one. I need to, he's already given it to me. I just have to retrieve it from his second story roof. But pretty cool stuff like that. And they're not real obstructive. It can kind of be aimed without a lot of issues. And that's pretty neat. It's just kind of a little adapt. You can adapt some of this stuff for listening. And you have to be a little creative there. Go online, get a couple of modifications that you would have to do, but pretty neat. Have your own radio astronomy telescope there, and I think there's a whole field we could get into that. Possibly we'll catch that one of these evenings. It's pretty neat. It's not really ham radio, but it's a lot to do with radio waves. Maybe we can pick up on that. Back to you, Mike.
I think that would be very cool. I've been out to Goldstone, where basically they're tracking the satellites and the spacecraft out in in our galaxy. But I know that there's a couple couple, and they say here at Green Bank in West Virginia and Jodrell, I think it is, Bank in England, and they have the big dishes, and they go after this stuff. Very cool. Well, let's see. I guess that they're talking about... let's see. Well, back to you, and I'll read this while you're talking for a second.
G6PL.
Yeah, Harold, go ahead.
Yeah, if you have a chance to correspond with Claire Cessna, K6LG here in Riverside, his neighbor gave him an old 12-foot dish, and all he had to do was move it, I guess, from the neighbor's yard to his yard. He converted it to one of the upper ham bands with a high 2 meters, 1 1/4, 70 centimeters. I'm forgetting now which one it was. It was on the cover of QST about, oh, it's in the fall, about 3 or 4 years ago. You might, he's into that kind of thing. You might, if you can, contact him. 86 PL.
Yeah, that's great stuff there, actually, because of the fact that a lot of that radio swell, we've had Dish and DirecTV pretty much predominant with their small dishes, and which was basically, the satellites are still out there the same place, they just got a lot more power transmitting now, and a lot of the electronics on this end is better too, so I do have, actually, I think I have a couple of 8-footers, and I think I even have a 12-foot dish. And actually about 2 or 3 that I have been promised and I need to pick up. However, I don't know if I would be setting up my own Goldstone style tracking here. I think the XYL would probably put her foot down at that one and probably the neighbors too. But pretty neat stuff. Of course, if you had a place like you were out in the desert someplace, had a couple extra acres or something like that, it'd be kind of cool. Of course, then again, too, everybody's going to wonder, what are they doing? So, well, anyway, anybody else out there with anything to add, please come back. Pretty neat little short topic for the evening, but neat stuff. Please come back to KF62. All righty, and Mike, WB6CL, anything more to add there? That's a pretty cool topic.
Well, I scanned it a little bit more, and he is saying that most of the, in 2 years that he's been kind of investigating this cosmic and atmospheric noise, most of the signals of atmospheric noise have been in southerly direction, which would tell me that, the other ones come from other than the southerly direction. And he also, as far as he knows, this is the first article of its type, other than maybe that Jupiter article, but that's in our solar system. That has done a kind of a comprehensive description of cosmic and atmospheric noise, but he thinks that it would be a good gateway to kind of get amateurs sparked into investigating all of this on their own and kind of getting into it. And it is pretty cool, especially someone like you that's got all those dishes. By golly, I can see it now. Back to you, Tom.
Yeah, actually, like I said, the ones I need to pick up. It's amazing, though, as you drive through any area up here, actually any area even off the mountain, not so much down there, a lot of them still around, and I think a lot of these were in good service up until the late 1990s, maybe early, maybe a little bit after that, not much. It kind of got pushed out of the way with other newer technology, and neat stuff, there's a lot of stuff there. Actually, if you can pick up a smaller one, like a 6-footer, I do have one up here I'm supposed to pick up. They're a little bit easier to manage and also, probably just as good for what we're going to do. Yeah, so anyway, well, good deal. Appreciate the topic there. Like I say, radio astronomy itself is pretty cool. A little search on the internet and you'll find that some of these different stars and things out there have a specific frequency or a group of frequencies that they tend to emit noise. Pretty cool stuff if you're into that. And if anybody out there cares to start getting involved with that, send me an email. I'd like to really start up a whole new thing with this at kf62@arrl.net. Well, in closing, Mike, anything to add?
really, Tom. I think we kind of got everybody, maybe piqued their interest or put them to sleep. I'm not sure. But anyway, but I'm thinking next week, I don't know if we're ready to be talking about that little tiny IC, the laterally diffused metal oxide semiconductor, big name, that tiny thing that puts out 1 kilowatt. I don't know if we want to talk about that next week or go into something else. But if anybody's interested in that, we'll get into that. It's pretty in-depth, but I guess they've come up with a solid-state device, runs at 50 volts, and will actually run a kilowatt, put a kilowatt output up to 2 meters, and I think a little higher in frequency, too. Anybody have any opinions or any comments on that? Back to you, Tom.
Okay, yeah, roger that. Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I think we'll probably dig into that. It's going to probably have its own night. Pretty neat. A kilowatt of power, pretty awesome from one device, one solid state device. They've definitely peaked out here. And of course, like as we all know, this is probably just the beginning. A lot of new stuff coming down the pike, a lot of new materials they're working with, but I don't think this is anything real new on the material end, just really cool what's out there. Don't know how much it costs, probably a pretty penny. And of course, the reason why would you want a kilowatt? This would be good if you're doing EME stuff up into the, you know, the 2 meter band, which is pretty cool. So need that extra power, get out there and bounce to the moon and back. Well, anyway, anybody out there with anything to add or comment, please come back before we close the net to KF6Q.
You have some info about a T-Hunt, KA6ROD.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry, I almost forgot. I do want to pass this along. This is from Ray, WB6PBZ, and he sent this to me at, on Saturday, October 13th, 2012, at Bonelli Regional Park. This is actually right in the, I'll say right off between San Dimas and Pomona, up there in the hills. Pretty cool park. It's been around for a while. Anyway, yeah, they've got a little bit of a fox hunt, 2 meter course, and it's basically, you know, you're all on foot, so you little RDF stuff. This will be, like I said, on October 13th. And trying to get the information here. I don't see a start time. I'm going to say basically, here we go. We'll start about 9:30 a.m. And at 9:30, they actually help you put together a little antenna. And of course, if you want to donate some money to these events, it's great too. They always accept that. So anyway, basically from Joe Moel, K0OV, and they do these a lot. This is going to be at, they're going to be some talking is on 14652 Simplex. So anyway, good deal, and for more information, send me an email. This is KF6Q. Any other comments before we close the net?
WB6PBZ.
Well, there you are. Now you pop up. Hey, Ray, how you doing?
I'm doing great, I guess. Yeah, there is also a beginner's section in there at that T-Hunt, and then advanced, so it's for all levels.
Pretty good. So actually, they have a little construction thing there at the beginning, and okay, yeah, the building session will start at 9:30, if they do have that. But the other, the T-Hunt basically is about 10:30, as I believe, from your email here.
I don't have the email in front of me, but they do have a beginner, so they help people that's never done it before to learn how to do it. And it is a walking T-Hunt, so it's not a big, you don't drive, you just walk and do it. So that's all I got to comment, WB6PBZ.
And I think it's basically a good training session is what it is. Is basically you can start as late as 1 p.m., and but they close the course at 3 p.m. So I think it's kind of like just to get people familiar with radio direction finding gear and how it's used and just having a whole lot of fun. So appreciate that, Ray, and thanks for sending that to us. So good deal. Anybody else out there, any comments before we close the net?
UIN, Mobile, Apple Valley. There's a sixth person from Apple Valley. We got Hunters, we got Allie's, myself, and Ray Mosley, N6TRJ. I forgot to tell you about him Saturday night. Thanks for doing the net. It was an interesting conversation. KJ6QIN, monitoring.
Okay, Shelley, I appreciate that. Thanks for listening out there, and hopefully you're not driving too far away. I think you got it down to within a few blocks or so. You hit the repeater, but you're in there solid, so. Alrighty, we'll be closing the net at QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, KF6Q, net control for the Tech Tuesday net. And closing the net, 1900 hours and 36 minutes. And I appreciate everybody being out there and checking in with us this evening. Hopefully we can see you again next week, same time. This is KF6Q, returning the repeater back to normal use.